Are you afraid yet? For some of you, you might look at that and instantly think of a show that was on TV for a while. Fear Factor. Don't worry, we're not getting any spiders or snakes or anything for you to stick your hand in a bag and see if you can come out with the gold coin. We're going to be talking about how fear factors into our decisions. And it does. If you've ever been afraid, and I couldn't, not all the screens are going to be like this, but I couldn't have this slide up here without having that cool font. So hopefully you'll remember that, the fear factor. We all have fears. Everybody has a fear of something. Maybe we're afraid of the dark. Maybe we're afraid of being alone. Maybe we're afraid of rejection. Maybe we're afraid of offending somebody. And that's just a few. I mean, we could go on. I could have the entire slideshow and we could still be late to lunch and not cover all the fears that we as human beings might have. But when we have fears, that fear factors into our decision making. For example, if we're afraid of the dark, we might turn on a nightlight. At least that's what we used to do for my kids. If we're afraid of being alone, we might seek out a group to make us feel included. If we're afraid of rejection, we might seek approval. If we're afraid of offending somebody, we might hold back our words or our actions for fear of offending. See, when we're afraid of something, it affects our decision making. We change the way we decide. And my point of this lesson today, it is dangerous to allow fear to factor into our efforts to serve God. We cannot let fear take over. We might end up letting a brother or sister continue in sin instead of saying something for fear. We might hold back the truth of Jesus from someone who needs it for fear. We might fail to fully follow God because it's uncomfortable. We're afraid. We might physically avoid brethren instead of desiring to be with them because we're afraid. There are lots of examples of people in the Bible that were afraid. I won't turn to all of these, but put them up here so that you can take note of them and look at them later if you'd like to. In Mark chapter 4, verses 34 through 41, we have an instance where Jesus is with his apostles in a boat on the sea, and a storm comes up. And they're afraid. They're scared to death. He's asleep. This is where they come to him and say, "Don't you care?" Which I think is an interesting statement to say to Jesus. "Don't you care?" But when he calms the sea, he says to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In Mark chapter 5, verses 35 to 43, we have an instance where Jairus, a man by the name of Jairus, who was the leader of a synagogue, his daughter was very sick, almost to the point of death. And he gets the courage to come up to Jesus to seek him out. And he says, "You can heal her." So he says, "Yes, I will." And they head for his house. Well, on the way to his house, a servant comes and meets them and says, "Don't worry about it. She's already dead. Don't bother the master any longer." Jesus looks at him and says, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." In Matthew chapter 14, we have the account of Jesus walking on the water. Again, the disciples are in a boat. It's stormy. He comes walking out to them. Peter says, have me come to you. So Peter walks out on the water. And he's doing great until he realizes this is a place I'm not supposed to be. And he gets afraid. And Jesus says to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, all of these instances, it's an issue of fear versus faith. They're afraid because they don't have enough faith. They're afraid because they don't believe. They're afraid because they're doubting. Another instance I find is interesting in John chapter 12. We're told, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. And we don't hear about them very often. The rulers that believed. The rulers of the Jews. These are Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes. Even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were afraid. Now, this is one I really like. These are two I really like. In John chapter 19, verse 38, one of those leaders who believed but was afraid for fear of the Jews, in verse 38, after Jesus dies, after he is crucified and has died, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, a ruler of the Jews, comes and claims his body. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he comes and claims the body. Now, normally, after a crucifixion, the family, the friends of the person that was killed in that manner are so ashamed that they don't want to be connected with that man or that person anymore that they didn't come and claim the body. They just refused to. And those bodies ended up being taken down by the Roman soldiers and thrown into a mass grave. But in Jesus' case, Joseph goes to the Roman government, appeals for the permission, because he's not a family member, appeals for permission to take the body of Jesus, and is granted it. It's now a matter of public record. And in verse 39, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, yeah, that Nicodemus, he brings the spices and the aloes and the preparations for the body. And together, probably with help from some others, they give Jesus an honorable burial. Now, the reason I like this is because they overcame their fear. It's public now. They're not secret anymore. They overcame their fear. So what can we do if we are afraid? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Now that word anxious means to be so overcome by something that it takes over. You can't function. You can't think about anything else. You can't do anything else. Overly worried, anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be afraid. We can pray. It's interesting, we're supposed to pray about what we're afraid of. We're also supposed to ask God for help with that fear. But notice it says with thanksgiving. Because when we're being thankful for the things God has already done, it reminds us of the things that He has accomplished. And we don't have to worry about anymore. We don't have to fear those things. If we can do that, there's a peace that comes over us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Humble ourselves. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. That idea of humble, the thing I think about is knowing my place. Recognizing God as the Creator and me as the created. He is God, I am me. Far below. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. Love can overcome fear. Love can overcome fear, but that love, it says, has to be perfect. Perfect love casts out fear. Complete. Total. Perfect love casts, if perfect love casts out fear, then how do I get that perfect love? Well, in 1 John 2, verses 4 and 5, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Our obedience completes the love of God. It makes it so that those around us can know, and we can remember and know, that the will of God is perfect, complete, lacking nothing. We looked at that verse in Romans 12 earlier. We can have perfect love through obedience. And when that obedience is complete, then we can have no fear. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Now, there is a sense of fear that we should have, isn't there? I know some of you are thinking it. There is a sense of fear we are to have. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is man's all. Or some versions will say this is the whole duty of man, or this is the whole of man. This is what it's all about. Fearing God and keeping His commandments. We are supposed to have a fear of God. Now that fear of God comes in two different types. We're supposed to fear Him, be in awe, and respect Him. That's part of being humble. We're also supposed to be afraid of Him. We are supposed to fear what He can do to us, both now and in the future, after our deaths. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Most of the things we're afraid of have to do with the world. And if we can overcome that fear, we can overcome the world. And the thing that overcomes that fear and the world is faith. Now, there were some things that Christians in the first century were afraid of. Man hasn't changed. I just want you to think about some of the things that a Christian in the first century, in the book of Acts, might have had to be afraid of. Is Jesus really the Messiah, or am I being led astray? See, all those Christians were Jews. They'd been Jews. They'd lived their whole life following the Jewish law. Is this Jesus really the Messiah, or am I being led astray? Am I being led into blasphemy? This would have been a fear that they would have had to overcome. Will I be rejected by the Jewish leaders as a blasphemer? This is what some of the fears, right? They were afraid of the Jews. We read some people that were like that. Will I be able to find a job since I'm a Christian? Will anybody hire me? This is one to think about. Is Saul of Tarsus going to find me? That would have been a fear. If he finds me, will I be tortured until I renounce my faith? And if I refuse to renounce my faith, will I be killed? See, these were all fears that those in the book of Acts had to overcome. They had to deal with on a daily basis. So what are some things that Christians fear today? I'm thinking about the United States in particular. Will I be made fun of because of my faith? Will I lose my job because I'm a Christian? Will I be rejected by my social group because of my beliefs? Will the government be angry because a large group of brethren are getting together? Will I get sick if I'm around a large group of brethren? Seems to kind of pale, doesn't it? Yeah, we have fears. But I don't think any of us woke up this morning and tried to decide if we were going to go to church because we were afraid of the people that would be waiting for us that might kill us. Now, I know that those fears are present in other countries. I know there are Christians that have those very real fears. But you know, the fears that you and I have, they don't seem like much. They're still fears, but they don't seem like much. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We're not supposed to be afraid. We're supposed to have a spirit of power to overcome that fear. Love, so that we can perfect that love and overcome that fear. And a sound mind, so we can reasonably understand what we're afraid of and overcome it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." You want to be afraid of something, be afraid of that. Be afraid of God. Now this is interesting because we're familiar with this verse. But do you know what Jesus was talking about right before he said that? Do you know what he was discussing? In verse 27, the verse right before that, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Jesus was talking to his followers about being courageous in spreading the word about him. Talking to people about God. Letting them know the good news about Jesus Christ. What you hear, speak. Don't keep it to yourself. And then he says, don't fear those that can kill the body. Don't let fear prevent you from doing things. We cannot let our fear of things in the world keep us from serving God. We can't. We can't let our fear of the things in the world keep us from serving our brethren. We can't let the fear of things in the world keep us from speaking to others about Jesus. See, this is what Jesus was talking about. Do not let the fear of the world keep us from doing the things we're supposed to do. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." If we know we're supposed to do something and we don't do it, it's sin. But look at what he was talking about right before that. In verses 13 through 16. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. When Paul writes that, or when James, writes that, he's talking about us thinking we can control and or predict our life. That's what he's thinking about. That's what he's discussing. And he says that this is pride, a lack of humility, and a lack of faith. And Jesus multiple times said that brings about fear. That brings about fear. If we let fear of something prevent us from doing what we know is good, we are sinning. Whatever we're afraid of could happen to us no matter what we decide. Might not make any difference. And that fear is a direct result of our own pride and lack of faith in God. Are we afraid of those that can kill the body but can't touch the soul? Or are we afraid of the one that can kill both body and soul? Mark chapter 4, verses 34 through 41. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In Mark chapter 5, Jairus' daughter, do not be afraid, only believe. In Matthew chapter 14, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. O you of little faith, why do you doubt? Are these things God would say to us? Are these things Jesus would point out to us? Why are we afraid? We should never let fear of what might happen keep us from doing something we know God would be pleased with. We can't let fear control us. So, I have three challenges for you. Common fears that I think Christians in the United States have today. And my challenge is that you perfect your love through obedience and overcome these fears. You ready? Ask someone to come to services. Invite somebody to come and listen and hear. Start a conversation with someone about Jesus. Not one of your brethren. That doesn't count. Somebody that is not here, does not go to services, is not a believer. Offer a Bible study to somebody who is an unbeliever. Those are things that we as Christians in the U.S. are often afraid of. But we cannot let fear of something that may or may not happen, fear of something that is in the world, keep us from doing what God thinks we should do, what God wants us to do, what it is God's will that we do. We cannot supplant God's will with our will. We cannot let fear take over. Challenge yourself. Overcome your fear, whatever that fear might be. Let God's perfect love cast it out. Let your faith be strong enough that you can overcome the world. If you need to begin the process of overcoming that fear, then today is a perfect day to do that. Today is the day of salvation, Paul says. That's because of what James was talking about. We don't know what tomorrow will be. If you need to overcome your fear through obedient, perfect faith in baptism, then we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.